Yada
Yada
Na
Na
Yoga Anga
Anga
My dear mother
My dear mother
Ananya Hetushu
Ananya Hetushu
Having no other cause
Having no other cause
Atta
Atta
Then
May
To me
Gati
Is progress
Is progress
Syat
Syat
Becomes
Mrityubhasa,
Power of death. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. When a perfect yogi's attention is no longer attracted to the byproducts of mystic yoga, which are manifestations of the external energy, his progress towards me becomes unlimited. And thus, the power of death cannot overcome me. Purport. Yogis are generally attracted to the byproducts of mystic yogic power, for they can become smaller than the smallest, or greater than the greatest, achieve anything they desire, have power even to create a planet, or bring anyone they like under their subjugation. Yogis who have incomplete information of the result of devotional service are attracted by these powers. But these powers are material. They have nothing to do with spiritual progress, as other material powers are created by the material energy. Mystic yogic powers are also material. A perfect yogi's mind is not attracted by any material power, but is simply attracted by unalloyed service to the Supreme Lord. For a devotee, the process of merging into the Brahman effulgence is considered to be hellish, and yogic power, or the preliminary perfection of yogic power, to be able to control the senses, is automatically achieved. As for elevation to higher planets, a devotee considers this to be simply hallucinatory. A devotee's attention is concentrated only upon the eternal loving service of the Lord, and therefore the power of death has no influence over him. In such a devotional state, a perfect yogi can attain the status of immortal knowledge and bliss. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport, 3rd canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Understanding Material Nature. Om Jnanatamanandasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshmashvotantina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Tukam Kodvata Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So what Kapila Deva is offered you is quite attractive. He says a bhakti yogi, by practicing Krishna consciousness, his progress towards Krishna becomes unlimited. And this is the goal, is to make progress towards Krishna. But to do that, we have to hear about Krishna. And therefore Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Maya Shakta Mana Partha Yogam Yujam Varashre Asamsyam Samagram. He says, just here, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, you'll know me in full, free from doubt. So, of course, to understand Krishna in full is not possible. Even Krishna doesn't understand himself in full, because he's always expand. But we can understand them at least enough to, as Krishna says here, to be free of doubt. Arjuna, he compared doubts to demons. So we have this desire to serve Krishna, that's a devotee inside us, and then there's these doubts, that's a non-devotee inside us, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura said. He said the mind is a non-devotee. So we're trying to turn this non-devotee mind into a devotee. Not an easy thing, because the mind has been a non-devotee for a very long time. So in this one lifetime, we're trying to turn this non-devotee into a devotee. And when that happens, then we'll actually be satisfied. And this is the real yoga process, actually, not this. Of course, hatha yoga is nice. You want to be healthy. But this bhakti yoga, this is the highest. Ira inan viyara tesu, the karma sam sutta, sarva sankalpa sam nesu, yoga guru sukhoshi. A person is said to be a full yoga whose every endeavor is devoid of the desire for sense gratification and fruitive activities. So this is the highest form of yoga, where we're completely free of the desire for sense gratification. It's like these yogis, Prabhupada mentions these yogis in India, they do it to get some mental satisfaction, to get some name, fame, adoration. It's not selfless, therefore it's sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada was once in India, and then there were one city, and devotees came to tell Prabhupada, there's a yogi here, he's been practicing mauna for 25 years, hasn't spoken for 25 years, and he'd become quite famous. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is very good. Actually, all these yogis, they should practice this mauna, because when they speak all nonsense. But bhakti yogis, they're also practicing mauna. How is that? They don't speak nonsense. They speak about Krishna. That's also mauna. To just speak about Krishna. Just like there's the austerities of speech. Anupayam kram bhakyam satyam priyam itamuchya svadhyam yasanam chayam manmayam. That the austerity of speech is first to speak that which is not agitating. Sometimes someone might say something to you and you want to retaliate, and you say something agitating, be agitated, you know, you say something agitating. But a devotee, Krishna is in control, he's speaking in this way. Something I've done in the past, no need to retaliate, just be tolerant. Anudvegam kram bhakyam satyam, to speak that which is truthful. Not easy. Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to say the truth. To speak the truth is very difficult. Although this is the last leg of religion, it's practically crippled already. So to be truthful is not easy. Therefore, there's one devotee that was famous as never telling a lie. Besides Plotananda Swami, does anybody know who that was? Yudhisthira Maharaj, right. He was famous for being truthful, never telling a lie. And what does Krishna do? Tells him to lie. someone might say, well, what kind of a God is this? Here's the most truthful person in the world, he's telling him to lie. What kind of a God is that? But why did he do it? He did it to bring righteousness within society, because Dronacharya, who was on the other side of the Pandavas, and killing so many soldiers, there was no sign of his being stopped because he was so powerful. The devotees were worried. So Krishna knew that he would only stop when he hears that his son Ashwatthama is dead. So Krishna knew what to do. So he told Yudhisthira, tell Ashwatthama is dead, tell him. And what did Yudhisthira do? He hesitated. Higher than morality is doing what God tells you to do. Higher than mundane morality is doing what God tells you. That's the highest morality. He hesitated. Because he hesitated, he had to see help. So, but then he did. He went to Dronacharya and he said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. Because it was an elephant that died. So he was still truthful. But he got the message out. And then Dronacharya stopped fighting. They were able to kill him. Otherwise, Yudhisthira would not have become king. It appeared to be because he was such a powerful warrior. He taught the Pandavas how to be great warriors. So very powerful. So to do what Krishna wants us to do is the highest goal. And what does Krishna want us to do? We're very fortunate that we have the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells us what to do. And there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada said is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Yet kuroshi, yet ashnasi, yet juhosi didasi, yet tapasyasi kondiya, tat kurusha vararpanam. He says, whatever you do, do it for me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So that's the first thing, that always think of me. Now it's not an easy thing to do, of course, because the mind, we know the mind is very fickle. Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, the yoga system, sixth chapter. And what did Arjuna say? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramati palavadurna, tashyam virajut. But this mind, it's so flickering. Any of you ever had that experience? Mind being flickering? Especially as soon as you try to chant your japa. The mind is clinging. The mind is flickering. Pramati, it's mad. The mind is mad. Pramati is mad. You try to practice Krishna consciousness, think of Krishna with a mad mind. Very difficult. Balabhad is very strong. It's strong and it's mad. That makes it tough. Chanchalam hi mara Krishna, pramati balavat pradham, and it's determined. It's mad, it's strong, and it's determined. Wow. What a challenge. Huh? And to control it, he said, is more difficult than to control the wind. The wind is so powerful. Just like in America, they have these tornadoes. There's a whole number of states in America called Tornado Alley. And it's got Oklahoma there, and Tennessee, and Arkansas. And every year they have these tornadoes because the warm wind from the Gulf of Mexico comes up and the cold. In everyone's home, there's shelters. When the tornado comes, they have these shelters. They go down and they have a door that opens up. So you're down there and the door opens up like this. Not sideways like all our other doors, but up and then down. So they go down, they close that door, They lock it up, and sometimes when they, after the tornado has gone through, they slowly open up the door, and whole neighborhoods are gone. Their house is gone, and the whole neighborhood is just gone because of the wind. Who's the incarnation of wind?
Vayu.
Vayu, yeah? So powerful. And another,
Bhima,
so powerful. So, very powerful. So to control the mind is like that. So what to do? Samsayam mahava manu remembrum abhyasimantukunam abhyasimantukunam vairabhimantukriyate. Krishna says it is undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind. Krishna says, you're right. But it's possible by practice and detachment. Yeah. So practice anything. We practice anything. You get better at it. You get better at it. Practice. Mind goes up. Ito ito nishchalati manishchanchan mastram tatastato nyamyatan atmanirisam. From wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Don't go there. Come on. Let's think of Krishna. You get purified. And then you'll be happy. The mind is not happy in the material sense gratification. It's so much stress. Yeah, it's the biggest disease in the world now, is stress. Because the mind is thinking all nonsense. If the mind thinks of Krishna, it gets purified. And it becomes happy. Just like Rupa Goswami, he says, I desire to have many millions of ears to hear the holy name of Krishna. Many millions of tongues to chant the name of Krishna. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of my heart, it stops all the activities, the nonsense activities of my mind, and I experience unlimited happiness. So, this is the goal. But it has to be done with great determination towards Krishna. Determination is towards Krishna, not towards sense. And practice, we have to keep practicing. We shouldn't become discouraged. Sometimes we get a little discouraged. The same way, quite often we join the movement and devotees think, oh, yeah, I should be a pure devotee within 6 months, maybe a year. And then after a few years, they get a little discouraged. Yeah, process doesn't work. Actually, we've been conditioned souls for how long? A long time. Who knows how many, maybe millions of lifetimes, we've had this impure mind, impure heart, and now in this one lifetime, we're trying to become purified. It may take many lifetimes. But Prabhupada said, you chant 16 rounds a day, you follow the four regular principles, and at the end of this life, I promise you, you go back to God. But there's a quality of the chanting. We can't just chant without some sincere desire to serve Krishna. You know, like a parent. No, we have to chant with devotion. And therefore, in this verse, it said that everything should be done with attention. Right? This attention is very important. Therefore, we have this tenth offense, to chant inattentively. I think the worst, most inattentive chanting I've ever seen, believe it or not, was at our headquarters, Mayapur. Mm-hmm. One devotee was chanting his japa while playing soccer. Mm-hmm. He was playing soccer at the temple. I saw a devotee who was chanting his japa and he was reading on the computer. Another time I saw a devotee, he was watching a movie. So here's a friend, so I said, Prabhu, please, this is for Krishna. This is your time for Krishna. You shouldn't watch a movie. It's not good. He said, Vijay, This is the only way I can chant my japa. We should pray to Krishna that we never come to that level. So we should be very attentive, not only in our japa, in Srimad Bhagavatam class. I've seen sometimes as soon as you say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you hear people start snoring. Yeah, but then when you hear Sayadama Jaja, Jalin, then they wake up. So actually, this Srimad Bhagavatam class, the holy name of Krishna, this is also prasadam. This is prasadam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an opportunity to advance, especially this chanting of Hare Krishna. This is non different than Krishna. Prabhupada said, you chant the holy name, Krishna, he's dancing on your tongue, and he's removing the poison. It's like Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, the poison was coming out. Krishna's dancing on our tongue, the poison is coming out. It may take some time. A lot of poison is there. What is the poison? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. This is the poison. You keep chanting, poison is going to come out. Because Krishna, there's this, just like we have names, right? We all have names. And Krishna has a name. So what's the difference between Krishna's names and our names? What's the difference? The difference is this Krishna's name. We chant Krishna's names and we get purified. And his name and himself are not different. But our name and himself are different. So the more we chant the name of Krishna, the more we get purified. Because Krishna is so pure that if we come in contact with Krishna in any way, we get purified. So the yogis, they want to get purified. But mostly they're interested in their own purification, not so much interested in helping others. Now for Prahlad Maharaj, he says the yogis, they go to the Himalayas and they do their meditation. Yoga. But Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not interested only in myself. Naivo vijay purajaratya yavayajvanis purjiri gaya maham tupamachita sochay tito vipurjayas indriyar maya sakaya vipu do puram. He says, I have no problem. He says to Lord Krishna, because wherever I go, I'm hearing your glories, I'm chanting your glories, so how can there be any problem? No worries, mate. No worries. As long as we're thinking of Krishna, it's not in vain. Vaikuntha. We can be in Vaikuntha in this world also, if we're thinking of Krishna. He says, but I am concerned about all the unfortunate souls who are wasting their life in this Maya Sukaya, illusory happiness. So this is a devotee. He's not only interested in his own advance, he wants to help others. And therefore Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said there's two types of devotees. There's the Goshtinandi and there's the Bhajanandi. And the best devotee is the Bhajanandi that likes to preach. And Prabhupada was like that. He liked bhajan. He would go to 26, he would go to that Thompson Square Park, and he would chant for hours. And he was elderly, 70 years old at the time. But he would also preach. He liked to chant. Sometimes he would, I remember the hearing one pastime of the devotee, Prabhupada had just visited the temple, and Prabhupada was just going to be there a couple of days, and the devotees were so anxious to hear Prabhupada. Yeah. They had never heard Prabhupada before. They were so anxious to hear Prabhupada speak Srimad Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada just chanted the whole Bhagavatam. He just chanted. So the devotee was thinking, well, this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam to hear. So Prabhupada just chanted, and that was the Bhagavatam class. Maybe he said a little something at the end, but that was it. So Prabhupada had a very strong attachment to hearing the name of Krishna. Therefore, in his prayer, on the Jagadutta, or maybe it's in Boston, he said, "I have great faith in the holy name of Krishna." So Prabhupada had great faith in the holy name. Therefore, he had so much success. And he was such a great preacher. You know, sometimes people would ask Prabhupada, "Do you have any mystic abilities? Can you show us any of your mystic abilities?" Prabhupada said, "Yes. You see these malechas? You see these yavas here? They become devotees. That's my mystic ability." And that is difficult. Much more difficult than what Prabhupada mentions here, that they're able to create a planet. That actually to turn a malecha, a yavana, into a devotee is much more difficult than making a planet or becoming smaller than the small, bigger than the biggest. Because for how long? I mentioned how long we've been conditioned souls. And Prabhupada comes and he turns the hippies into happies. He turns the crows into swans. So this is Prabhupada's ability. Such a great personality. I was just thinking the other day how great Srila Prabhupada was. It's amazing how great he was. I mean, I think there was one... even materially speaking, there was, I think it was Times Magazine, they came up with the 10 people over the age of 60 who gained success. The most successful people after the age of 60, who became successful after that, probably one of the 10. But they didn't have after 70. Became successful, even materially, with this movement. After 70, he became a millionaire. He had millions of dollars at his fingertips. Of course, not a dime for anything other than the service of Krishna. But he became so successful after the age of 70. And he was such a good preacher. Amazing. Amazing preacher. Therefore, we have these tapes. Prabhupada speaking. And devotees just hear them over and over and over again. I'm one of them. I'm sure Prabhupada and Swami is one of them. And probably many of us. You just hear them over and over again. Just like Krishna, whatever he speaks, he was benedicted by his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Whatever you speak will be ever fresh. Of course, Krishna didn't need that blessing, but he got that blessing. So Prabhupada, whatever he speaks, it's ever fresh. You can hear it over and over. Such a good preacher. So pure, such a pure heart. Good preacher, good cook, very good cook. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, "Who's the best cook in Islam?" He said, "I am." He taught everybody else how to cook. And anybody know how he learned how to cook? Watching his mother. But I question that sometimes because, you know, Prabhupada, he was a kid, he liked to play. You know, remember he wanted a gun? Remember he told his father, "I want a gun." And he was demanding, wouldn't give it to him. No, give me a gun. Finally his father gave him, "Give me another one." "I just gave you one. I got two hands, I need two guns, you know." So Prabhupada liked to play. He was a child. So kids, I mean, to stand there, sometimes it takes a long time to cook, so how much time can you stand there and then watch everything that his mother's cooking? I think it was more like, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, very much connected to Radharani. So Radharani was just like Krishna directed Prabhupada on how to write. You know, just Prabhupada said it was dictated by Krishna. So Radharani was dictating. That's what I think. How to cook. But he was just an amazing cook. One day what he even told me, he said that there was one instance where Prabhupada cooked for his spiritual master, was this appearance that Prabhupada cooked, it wasn't anything real elaborate, simple, maybe some khichdi and some sabji. But the devotees, they were eating this prasadam, and it was just like nothing like they had ever eaten in their life. It was just like, it was ambrosial. Unbelievable. It was so good that when they finished eating their first plate, they all crawled to the pots and they were putting their hands in the pots. And these are devotees that had been around for a while. They know you don't put your hand in the pot. Put it in your mouth. Go back in the pot. Put it in your mouth. They just lost it, you know. By being intoxicated. They were intoxicated by this prasadam. Prabhupada had married this. So much love. That's the main ingredient in prasadam, right? Is love, right? And Prabhupada had so much love for Krishna, so much love for Radharani, for his spiritual masters. Ambrosia was unbelievable. So Prabhupada was so expert in so many things, managing, unbelievable. He was managing this entire society by snail mail. Y'all know what snail mail is? Yeah. You send it in a letter, you know, to the other side of the planet. He was managing the whole society by snail mail. Now we have email, everything's very quick. He didn't have that. He was telling devotees what to do, you know, just managing everything. Such a powerful general in our society. So he was expert in so many things. Cooking, managing, preaching. What else was Prabhupada expert? Singing. Yeah, bhajan. Nice, bhajan, soul, and harmonium. He was an expert. Playing the drum, everything he was expert at. It's amazing. We're so fortunate to have this contact with Srila Prabhupada. And he taught us, and he came to teach us how to be devotees, how to be attentive in what we're doing. In one purport, Prabhupada says, he says, if one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. But to be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is why we follow these four regular principles also. If we gamble, how can we be pure? If we take intoxication, how can we be pure? Meat eating can't be pure. Illicit sex can't be pure. And he added that too. So it's interesting that our ability to hear nicely is dependent on this eating. So we have to honor prasadam, not just chow down, like we usually just chow down. And then we honor prasadam. It's Krishna. We sleep to rejuvenate the body. Prabhupada, when he would go to take rest, he would tell the servant, now I'm going to waste time. How many of us think like that before we go to sleep? Now I'm going to waste time. No, now we're thinking, oh, good. Relief. So eating, sleeping, mating, only for appropriation and defense. In the Uddhava Gita, Krishna says, the highest form, or the highest way that one can be secure in this world, is to realize that I'm the soul within. Because what harm can come to the soul? The soul can't be destroyed by any weapon. Even the most powerful nuclear bomb can't kill the soul. Nainam chindanti sastram, nainam dehati pavakam, can't be burned by fire. Practically everything can be burned by fire in this world, but not the soul. Not China. 在里面讲 you can drown the soul, can't be withered by the wind. The soul is so powerful. In one place, Prabhupada said it's more powerful than many suns. So powerful when it's pure. So why is the soul so powerful? Because it's part of Krishna. Krishna is the most powerful. So we also can become very powerful. And this knowledge, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says it's Rajavidya, Rajaguyam. It's the king of knowledge. Why is it the king of knowledge? Because if we attain this knowledge, we become powerful. We become spiritually very powerful. And therefore, this movement is still spreading all over the world because the powerful Vaishnavas who are taking on this knowledge, who are accepting this knowledge and living this knowledge, they're becoming very powerful, and they're able to convince others to also take up this Krishna consciousness. In Russia, there's a devotee that he makes so many devotees. It's unbelievable. Like, I was just in a tour around Russia a few months ago. And generally when I travel around the world, and I ask, you know, I give sankirtan seminars, and I ask the Lord, so how did you join Krishna consciousness? And generally as I travel around, you know, three quarters of the room they raise their hand, they got a book. Generally, they got a book. But in Russia, as I was traveling around, I would ask this, and only about maybe one quarter of the room raised their hand because they got a book, and the rest of the whole room generally would be because of this one devotee. What's his name?
Adarya.
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 Adarya. Adarya. Adarya. He's an Ayurvedic doctor. So he goes in, he preaches on the internet, and he told me that in between each mantra that he chants, he prays to Krishna, please Krishna, empower me to make devotees. So it probably takes him a long time to chant his japa. But Krishna's reciprocating with him, and he's making so many devotees. It's amazing. Even I was just in the Grand Canyon in America. I was with Ganapati Maharaj. He's our unsung hero. He's been distributing books for 40 years. Apparently nobody's heard of Ganapati Maharaj. He's out there distributing books for 40 years. So I was distributing with him there. And two devotees came up. I said, oh. And they were surprised to see us distributing books there in Grand Canyon. And I asked them, so where are you guys from? Where are you guys from? They said, oh, we're from Russia. Oh. How did you become devotees? Adarya Dham. They came here, or they came to America to enjoy material life. Yeah. And they were a little frustrated. So they were on the internet, you know, on their Russian internet, and they found Adarya Dham's preaching. And it's so attractive, it's so well, he preaches so nicely, that they became attracted. And they would listen again and again and again. Now they're initiated devotees. Amazing. You're from Russia. How did you become a devotee? Don't tell us Adarya Dham. Adarya Dham, really? Right here. Is it? This devotee right here, the one Russian devotee in this temple, became a devotee because of Adarya Dham. Amazing. You see? So, purity is a force. If we pray to Krishna, man proposes, God disposes. So if we pray to Krishna, please give me the sincerity to help this movement expand, to make devotees. And as we're seeing there, he's making so many devotees. I think he makes more devotees than anyone else on this planet. He's a householder. And he's just completely absorbed in preaching. Now he's an Ayurvedic doctor. So they're building a hospital in the southern part of Russia there now. And there's so many devotees coming. Doctors are coming. So they're going to have, say we have that Bhaktivedanta hospital there. So now it's going to be, they're all devotees. They became attracted by this. So Krishna's very attractive, and if we pray to Krishna, he will help us to attract others here to this wonderful society under the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, so we should also pray like Prahlad Maharaj. Please empower me to also help these souls become free of this Maya Sutaya and find the real happiness of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Can someone still preach if he has some, or can he be successful in his preaching if he still has some ulterior motive? He wants to get some name, fame, some adoration, in fact, to make a lot of devotees, people respect him. Well, it's possible, but it won't be as successful. The more we're free of our material motivations, the more we'll be an instrument in the hands of Krishna. But yeah, this is another thing. We have to really pray to Krishna to become, to get purified. And the more we chant, the more we hear, we're gonna get more and more understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yo Mame Bhagavad Sangha, Janati Purusodha, Sasarva Pujati Mame, Sarva Vayabharata. He says, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubt, he's the knower of everything. Definitely engaged in my devotional service. So how can he be the knower of everything? How's that possible? Well, what is there in everything? Everything consists of matter, spirit, and the controller of both. That's everything. So if we become devotees of Krishna and understand beyond the shadow of a doubt Krishna is God, we become the knower of everything. We know what is better. Spirit, we know what is better. We know I'm not this matter. I know this body is just a machine. Yantra, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yantra is just a machine. It's got joints, it's got pipes, you know, it's got all these things. It's just a machine. Engineers or mechanical engineers will never come close to making such a high-tech machine as the material body. They grow. Do we know of any machines that grow? They don't grow. They reproduce. One machine makes another machine, or you put two machines together and then another machine comes out. Amazing technology, yes. These machines see, you know, they get these cameras that they focus, and just immediately they focus wherever they go, these eyes. Even Darwin said, he said that this, this, what is it? Evolution. The evolutionary theory will never be proved because you can't, the eye. How could it evolve? And he said, he wrote a letter to a friend, it's what I'm saying here in this, about this evolution, it's all speculation. So these bodies are so complex. You know, as soon as you cut it, it starts to heal. If you break a machine, that's it. You gotta go get a mechanic, you know, fix it. But for this body, it heals by itself. You know, an incredible machine. And we have the mind. God. The mind. The heart. It's so complex. It said that the veins in this body, they could go around the planet twice. All the blood is pumping through these veins. Amazing. So, Krishna's incredible. He's so incredible. We can't imagine how incredible he is. But the closer we get to him, the more we'll appreciate how great Krishna is. The more we get serious. Prabhupada said if we're serious and sincere, then our advancement will be very quick. So what is this? These two words are very similar. So what does this mean? This word means serious. It means thoughtful. It's thoughtful. When we're reading Prabhupada's books, don't just read it like a novel, just read it. Each sentence we should stop and try to absorb it. Prabhupada's such a great preacher. He said this knowledge is being dictated to him by Krishna. So each sentence is so important. So we should really try to absorb what we're reading. This is serious. And sincere means genuine. Genuine. No ulterior motive. Just want to hear Krishna's glories and advance in Krishna consciousness. Just try to please Krishna. Yet Kuroshi, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you perform, should be done as an offering to me. So that's sincere. So we should pray for these two things, serious and sincere, and Krishna will give it to us. Any other questions or comments? Corrections? Yes?
How we can prove Krishna's existence scientifically and the soul's existence?
Okay, that's a whole other class. And we can get close to the end. Maybe we can talk to you. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.